We were in the middle of the story of that great sage, his cherished two children. They walked under that wall on Shabbos afternoon. The wall collapsed, and he kept it quiet. He didn't say a word to anyone. He was sure they were dead. And he came home and didn't say a word, and he made up a story so his wife wouldn't be totally distraught on Shabbos. And when he came home in the afternoon, after Mincha, so then his wife sees that he's all alone, and she says, okay, I want to tell you something. So he is trying to protect her. He's trying to ensure that she doesn't go out of her mind in pain that Shabbos. And she says to him, listen, I want to ask you a question. So he says, yes, what is it? And that's where we left off last time. She says to him, it's been a while that I was watching something for someone. And he came back and asked me to give it to him. Should I give it back to him? Maybe I shouldn't. He looks at her and he says, come on, you know that the honest thing to do, the straight thing to do, is that you quickly give him back his item. She says to him, you see, you just answered your own fate. God gave us two precious things to watch. You see how smart she was? She figured out what happened. She says, God gave us two precious things to watch. And now he decided to take them from us. We have to contain ourselves and accept his justice in the world and praise him nonetheless, praise him when things are harsh, just as when things are sweet. So he didn't tell her that that's what happened, but she figured it out. And so she comforted him. And with her tremendous wisdom, she was able to strengthen him throughout that Shabbos. And so that Shabbos, they said they're going to accept, if this is the lot God knows is best, so they accept whatever was decreed upon them. And that night, I guess they figured they'll come clear the stones the next morning. You don't want to deal with a destroyed wall at night. Who knows what kind of snakes and scorpions could come out at you. So the owner of the wall, he decides he's clearing the stones that night. And he wants to collect his items from there. And he starts taking off the stones, and he finds the two children alive. And he brings them back home. And the two children are coming to a home where the parents are each trying to comfort one another and help one another come to terms with the loss of these two children. And the two children walk in front of them. And the parents look at one another, and they look at the kids, and they hug them, and they kiss them, and they ask them, how'd you make it out alive? Such big boulders came tumbling down there that there was no logical way you could be alive. And they told them, well, what happened was, as the wall collapsed, there was a beam that collapsed first. And that beam made a little enclave around us, and the stones fell all around that beam. And so we were under that beam. We had the shelter of that beam, so things were falling all around us. We couldn't get out, but we weren't hit by the stones. We were under the beam. So these righteous people, Hashem gave them a little bit of their wages in this world. And obviously they have much more waiting for the world to come. See what tremendous people they were, that he was convinced there's no way the kids are alive. And nonetheless, he maintained the halacha. He didn't desecrate the Shabbos. And quite the contrary, he was trying to figure out ways of breaking the news to his wife. And she figured out a way of breaking the news to him. It happened that a non-Jewish king attacked Jerusalem with 40,000 soldiers. And he placed the siege around the city for a long time. And the Jewish people were in dire straits. And in Jerusalem, there was a young girl who herself was a prophetess. And when she saw the terrible state that her people were in, so she decided that she's going to do something about it. And We'll pick up here, Besachem, next time.